strong toxic brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for April 1st. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Matt. How you doing, Matt?
So good. Happy Matt Monday. Sorry, Mary. It's Matt Monday.
Ooh, yeah. I don't know. I don't know if Mary is like, oh, but I'm minus two, which puts me before you or puts me below you because minus two is less than zero.
I don't know. All I know is BB Can 6 was Matt Monday. So I'm going to reclaim that for myself, if that's okay.
There you go. All right. Well, we are here to tell you about everything that happened on the Big Brother Canada 7 feeds yesterday. And it was day 30 in the house. We've been wondering about this power, right? This power in the house. We've had some theories, but we don't really know a ton about like what's going on here. We did get some more information about it yesterday. I've got to say, I'm still not really a fan of this. I feel like it's going to extend an already kind of slow season. And I think the name is really silly to begin with, this whole thing. So, we did get some more information though. It turns out, Paul was right. Jessica does have the halting hex. We found that out last night during the eviction. We did see Dominique leave, unanimously. Paul did dress up as a snake as he said he was going to. That was pretty, pretty awkward, but. We did see Dominique give a speech. It's never easy to witness a false fact. It's never easy to dribble the ball back. I thought that was an all-time great, Matt.
Yeah, classic Big Brother history in the making with these iconic speeches from players with great potential. Gone too soon.
It's a shame. I'm seeing in the chat though they're saying this is the wrong. Did I get the wrong season?
I have notes for this. I don't.
Sorry, guys. I think I started reading the wrong season here. Sorry. Okay. Let me see here. Big Brother Canada, April 1st. Okay. I got this. Sorry about that. Reset. Okay. We started the day. Paris was reassuring that Ryan was going to stay against Marin, that she was definitely going to give him her vote. Johnny spent the day making sure that everyone was going against Dayla. I don't know if that's going to work though, because they're probably going to win some of those competitions. He did tell Will that they need to make sure Marin leaves because he's been getting really close. Oh, sorry. They got me. I think I got it wrong again, Matt.
No, I'm excited to talk about Johnny again and see how much him versus Dayla is going to kick off for another week.
Yeah. All right. Sorry. Let me just one more try here. All right. It's bad that I got this wrong too, because it was a pretty crazy night of feeds here. We saw Winston evicted over Brett with a 6-5 vote, and Brett claimed he had a final two with Rockstar, a secret one. Now this was awesome. This was fantastic. Rockstar was like, "I can't believe you did this to me. It's my daughter's birthday. How dare you?" I mean, I think we're going to be talking about this for years, Matt.
And we have a new HOH. Sam won HOH.
She did. She did. And best thing of it all, Faute believes that this secret final two is real.
Who flipped on the vote? We're never going to get a clear answer for this one.
All right. There's April 1st for you in Big Brother history. Well, not just April 1st, but day 30 in Big Brother history. Mm-hmm. For the notes that I have for live feed updates, I thought you guys might enjoy that a little bit here. But now we will talk about Big Brother Canada 7. We had some movements on the feeds yesterday, but unfortunately, a large portion of the day was taken up by a pool tournament.
Yes. And just for the audio listeners at home, if you're wondering what the April Fool's prank really is today, Taryn is podcasting without a shirt on for the first time in Morning Update history. And you guys aren't here to watch it. You're just listening on your phones.
Oh, man, it's a shame. You guys, you really should be audio. I mean, visual listeners is what you should do.
So come on over and check out the YouTube video.
Yeah. All right. So
I think I threw him off.
Just when you thought we were done. So we started the day with Adam, Dane, and Anthony. I mentioned this a little bit yesterday. It was early in the morning. They were talking in the HOH room, and they were talking about the vote. And Adam said that Kira is on board now. Mark should be good. There's some tension in this conversation, though, because they're talking about, you know, this week is fine, but moving forward, what are we going to do? Who are the next targets? What is the game plan moving forward? Adam, in particular, is really pushing for Sam. He says that, you know, Sam, she's all good now. She, you know, she's on board. She trusts us. She's like willing to work with us moving forward. And Anthony's like, okay, that's great. That's great. But they're all at this point trying to advocate for their person. Adam for Sam, Dane for Esty, Anthony for, Corey. So Adam's like, you know, Sam is fully on board. We should take her, really far in the game now. And Anthony is like, yeah, that's, you know, that's great and all, but you can't fully trust her. Corey, we can fully trust. Corey will do what I say. And Dane says, that's great, the two of you, but Esty can't win anything. Esty should be the one that we take really far here, because Esty is, you know, she's never going to win anything. So Esty should be the last person we cut. And Adam's like, well, of course you're going to say that. Esty's your person. And they really start to get into it here.
We've got a really interesting dynamic going forward with the fact that, you know, if you're going to try to look for a bright side, if you're somebody who's not enjoying the Pretty Boys takeover of the house this season, the fact that we are down to, we're about to hit the jury phase and we have all four Pretty Boys in the house. Obviously, Mark doesn't really have anybody he's bringing in as like, you know, his plus one, but all three other guys do have plus ones or twos with them. So it's really interesting now, because now they're all fighting for their additional people to be the ones that they're saying, you know, we should take this person as far as possible. And I mean, you get past this week, I mean, it seems like, you know, we have Kiki versus Mark on the block right now. It seems like Kiki might end up being the one who goes home here, and Dane might have to, you know, sacrifice one of his numbers. But when you get down to it, if you have Dane with one number, Anthony with one number, and then Adam with only one number that he truly cares about, eventually someone's got to go. And watching them try to figure out who it's going to be over the next few weeks is going to be a little bit more exciting feeds than we might be used to.
Yes. So there's some real tension in this conversation. Anthony does try to keep the peace a little bit, like, listen, guys, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because I'm going to end up winning. And that's what matters. That's the subtext of what he said. It doesn't matter. We're still Pretty Boys. We're still legendary. We're lions. And so they continue discussing about like who's going to be the target next week. Dane says we need to make sure we flush the blood veto if it's still in play. So we need to make sure we put Kira on the block. And then basically with everyone that they're talking about protecting and Kiki leaving this week, that kind of just leaves Damien left in the cold. So Damien is definitely somebody that they're talking about here, but Adam feels good with Damien, and Dane doesn't actually want to target Damien because he actually wants to still target Sam. And Anthony, I think, is probably the most gung-ho about Damien, but I think Anthony also has his own plans going on. So I'm not sure that this would go through, but Damien is definitely on the forefront of people's minds in this conversation here. Anthony does also, he protects Kira a little bit. He, I think, recognizes how much influence he has over them right now. And he feels like, you know, well, you know, Kira, I mean, yeah, sure, maybe we can flush the power, but we don't need to get rid of Kira yet. He's like actively protecting Corey in front of them, and then kind of secretly protecting Kira, because I think he feels like Kira is a secondary number for him, especially if Sam leaves.
For all the work that Kira did last week, or at least, you know, anytime Chelsea was around and they were talking about let's, you know, we have to do something about the guys alliance, and Kira was the one who was on to Anthony from the very beginning. And then this week rolls around, Sam is HOH, Kira is like the closest person to, or Sam is the closest person that Kira has in the house, and Kira probably can get in Sam's ear to do whatever they think that the plan should be this week, which we thought at the beginning of the week, you know, it's very obvious. You got to get a guy out of the house. And somehow, somewhere along the way, Anthony has gotten inside Kira's head, and Kira feels very comfortable with Anthony. Kira has mentioned this, and Anthony must recognize at this point that that Kira is not the threat that they might have been at one point. Kira is very easily moldable to Anthony's, you know, Anthony's mist or whatever we whatever we're calling it.
Yeah. So Sam ends up joining them, and they talk with her about working together moving forward. And this is, again, this is the most open they have ever been. It's been a sort of like don't ask, don't tell sort of policy between Adam and Sam about the guys' alliance, that like she knows it's there, but they can't really say it out loud. And this conversation is very similar, where it's three of these guys who are like, you know, clearly working together, bringing her and being like, we will protect you as long as you, you know, basically stick to the script that we want to give you. And her pretending to not notice that they're working together, but also agreeing to their terms, like, I'm totally cool with that. I want to work with you guys moving forward. You know, Mark can stay this week. That's what I'm feeling. And they kind of make this unspoken agreement here that Sam is okay, and we can trust her moving forward. And so Adam is going to be very, very pleased with this. This is what he's wanted from the start.
Yeah, I mean, it seems pretty easy, just like any other week in Big Brother, that when the HOH is in power and the veto ceremony hasn't even happened yet, to just make them feel comfortable, make them feel included, make their number one ally, in this case being Adam, feel like you have nothing to worry about. You know, your showman says nothing to worry about. We're all a cohesive group. But the theme of this season has been, we have to get Sam out as soon as possible. And no matter how you look at it, the showmans, Adam and Sam, are the top targets in the house. If they are not in power next week, I still very much see that they will end up on the block and probably one of them evicted. It's hard to get this target off their back now that it's grown so big over the season.
Yes. So after the guys leave, Adam and Sam are just like, yes, like, or Adam is at least just like, yes, this is what I've wanted from the start. This is great. This is fantastic. He says, this is the most that they've ever talked to you about you before, like feeling good about you. Like this is working great. They basically didn't tell me anything that they didn't already tell you. I'm excited about this. Like, we're looking down at like a final six of like me and you and Anthony and Corey and Dane and Esty, and like, we're in a good spot there. Like, we're probably the best at competitions duo wise of those three pairs. And Sam's like, yeah, that works as long as that's really what's gonna happen. Sam is a little bit less enthused, but obviously trying to do her best to play as many angles as possible here.
And credit to Dane and Anthony a little bit, just because usually, like, in every past week we've had pretty much on any given morning update, you would hear Dane talking about how Sam needs to go as soon as possible. Anthony talking about how Sam is the number one target, but they haven't been saying that to anyone this week. Even if they're still thinking it, they haven't been putting it out there, which is obviously very good in a week that Sam is in power. And like I said before, the veto ceremony hasn't happened yet, because the smaller the numbers get, the more likely this information would be to get back to her. So I think that those guys deserve some credit for taking their foot off the gas pedal this week with that.
Yes. Dane leaves this conversation with Sam, and he is not happy like Adam is happy. Dane goes right to Esty, and he is going to really vent to her. He obviously can't explain all of the details about why, but he basically says to Esty, like, I'm so pissed. I just had a conversation with Adam and Sam. I just can't stand Adam. He's driving me crazy. I have to kiss his ass so much. And he's, you know, doing all this stuff and making us, you know, agree to things that we don't want to agree to, and I've got to play along, but I am going after Sam next week. She needs to go. You know, you need to win, or Damien needs to win, so that you guys can go after Adam and Sam, because I don't know if I don't want to have to do it, but I will if I need to, but I would love it for you guys to do it.
Yeah. Well, to be clear, because I just said that Dane wasn't doing this. I meant like Dane wasn't doing this to other people in the house. Like, it's okay if he still talks to Esty about how they need to get Sam out, but he's not saying it to like the Kira, Anthony, Corey's or anything like they were throwing it around last week. But yeah, it's like I said, it's very much still this is Dane's plan. He you know, Sam is making a very big mistake by not going after one of these big guys this week. And she felt like that after the nomination ceremony. She was like kicking herself. She's like, why did I put Kiki on the block? She's going to feel pretty stupid in a few days when she realizes the writing on the walls for next week.
Yeah, I mean, the problem for Sam is that she needs to get Dane out. And I think she recognized that, but she didn't see a way to do it. And the way for her to do it was to put him up against Anthony. But even then, if you count the votes, it doesn't seem like Anthony has the votes to stay. I've said this last night, but I feel like Anthony probably could have gotten the votes, but obviously she can't trust in that. And then also part of how she wanted to move forward to go after the guys is that she needed support, and she saw the support being Esty and Kiki. They were the ones coming to her. They were the ones that were potentially going to be able to work with her against the guys. But if she targeted Dane of the guys, then the Esty and Kiki, they would be mad at her and they would not want to work with her. So that's why she was like not targeting Dane. And I don't think she realizes just how much Dane is the main driving force behind all of the people trying to target her. And it doesn't help that, you know, Adam is there being like, no, Dane is great. Dane is good. He's not coming for you. Because at this point, Dane has been lying to Adam about the fact that he's coming for Sam for a long time as well. So you are correct that Dane is successfully hiding this from both Adam and Sam. And that's what's really kept him safe this week, because I think that if Sam or even Adam knew just how much Dane was coming for Sam, then Sam would have tried something a little more aggressive here. Because if you look at it from her perspective, if Dane is what he says he is to Adam, if Adam is correct, then Sam is probably doing the right thing with this move. The problem is Adam is not correct, and so it's a very bad move.
Yes, and I mean, Sam should have seen this this kind of. I mean, she's obviously not the great player that would have been able to see a move like taking out Dane as something beneficial to her this week, especially, you know, all the Adam connection with Dane and whatnot aside. But, you know, she just had this exact same situation happen to her last week where she was in a trio. You know, it was Sam, Adam, and Chelsea, and the entire house came together to chop off the seemingly most powerful player of that group in Chelsea. And, you know, Sam and Adam are still in the house. They're obviously still going to have to continue their games moving forward, which is why I feel like she should have seen something like that happen and said, it's not the end of the world if I go after Dane this week. Eventually, Kiki and Esty will realize, well, they're going to keep going in the game even if Dane's not there. Or I'm sure they tried to rally the votes or whatever, but I feel like Sam just saw it as something that could never happen. And obviously, Adam kept reassuring her. And like I said, I really don't think she's going to be happy with this week after it's all said and done.
Yes. Adam asks in the chat, Adam from the chat, not Adam from the house. Did he pound the pillows? No, I don't think he pounded the pillows, but I'm looking for it. Next time he pounds the pillows.
You start calling Adam Pikesy because Dane calls him that, and I actually kind of like that. It's just fun to say.
It's, you know, he calls him Pikes, but he's the only one that calls him Pikes. Or
maybe
Pikesy.
It's Mark that says Pikes.
Mark does too sometimes, actually, yeah. But not enough people do, and my notes need to be consistent so I can search.
I just like Pikesy. It has a good ring to it.
Yeah. So
gotta find something likable in Adam.
You do. So Kiki is going to talk with Sam and Adam. She's going to pitch to them in her very bad Kiki pitching ways, where she's, I'm a good competitor. I'm a threat in this game, and I'm not coming for you. I never said that. What are you? What? Like, she'd already admitted it before. And like, no, I'm not coming for you. I promise. And in her way, that's like she's clearly annoyed at them, and you know, they can tell. And you know, they know now that there's a rumor going around the house that Esty and Kiki were caught making finger guns to the camera, going, "We're gonna get Sam and Adam out." Yeah. Which like they totally do all the time. And I believe it was Anthony that caught them and sort of spread this around. And so there's now fresh information in Sam and Adam's minds about like, no, you definitely were gunning for us hard, and now you're lying to our faces. And so Kiki thinks that this pitch goes really well, but it did not.
Kiki's campaigning is some of the worst I've seen since Chelsea Bird. It's really, really not Good. She's just coming at it from all the wrong angles. I feel like I think I might have tweeted something about this, just how I feel like she does have three votes that she could easily get to her side. You need four this week. She has Esty. She could have Dane if the numbers are there. And, Dane is somebody who probably is on the fence right now, obviously, in the middle of this. And then Damien has expressed already that he wants to vote to keep Kiki in. That's three. One more vote is needed. And Kiki keeps thinking that she needs to get Sam and Adam on her side. And I don't fully understand this. I feel like her better move would be to go to Kira, to go to Corey. I think Kira is the more likely one over Corey. But either way, she's wasting a lot of time here trying to convince Adam, who and Adam's right. Adam's not entirely stupid. I think I might have given Adam too little credit a few weeks ago, saying that he was really bad at this. I think I have noticed he's been a lot better than I thought he was. But he's not stupid. And Kiki keeps going to Adam and saying things like, you're not my target. I want to work with you. And it's like, that's not believable in any sense. And she's admitting, she's saying, well, I did come after, or I did say that I was going to target you. I did say that I was going to nominate you, but that's not the case anymore or whatever. It's just, none of it's convincing. He's not buying it because he's not stupid. And this pitch is like very, very bad. I don't know. It's just, it's not working out. I think she needs to just drop it with Adam. If she's going to stick to the fact that Adam and Sam are her targets, then take that and use it. Use it to Kira. Use it to Corey. Because if other people in this house are still going to be going after Sam and Adam, then just join that movement and go get your fourth vote, because you have three.
Yeah, I mean, I really, there's a major weakness here, trying to campaign to Adam and Sam. She's very bad at it. But really, the biggest weakness, I think, is with Kira, where she completely lost Kira the night before this this update. And she is continuing to not get Kira back all day today. And Kira is the most important, because Kira has a vote where Sam does not. And Kira has the blood veto.
Hello, like, yeah.
They told Kiki, hey, don't tell anyone, but I might be willing to use this on you if things are looking bad. And Kiki proceeded to then just be passive aggressive with them, like, and be like roll the eyes and like all this stuff. And it's just like, why? Especially if they're forced to use the blood veto this week, then like now all of a sudden Kira's going to be using that in favor of Mark. And like, it's just like, it's all kinds of bad. Kira has no reason to want Kiki out. And there is no reason for Kira to want Kiki out, apart from the fact that Kiki just seems really sketchy to them.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like you said, the blood veto is like the number one reason that you should be working on Kira's vote. But Kiki is, I don't know if it's just because this house is so used to like unanimous votes in the past couple of weeks. They had one with Kaylin, they had Chelsea, Eddie, and maybe Kiki is just like, oh, this has to be another unanimous vote. Let me do all the work to make sure that I have Adam on my side. Like I said, she does not need Adam. She's wasting her time. She should be spending every single moment between now and Thursday working on Kira, working on making Kira feel good, because Kira was there. Kira was like you said, ready to use the blood veto on Kiki if that was something that she needed. That they needed to do. The opportunity was there for Kiki to walk. There's so many Kiki Kiras, for Kiki to walk through that door, make that kind of connection with Kira, and make something happened this week. The guys alliance being a thing. It's crumbled in the past few days. Not the alliance. The idea of it. It just fades further and further from their brains as time goes on. And I can't understand at all why people are dropping it. Why people are pretending it's not there. They don't want to talk about it. I don't know. It's really, really frustrating. If you're like a hardcore Kiki fan, you're screaming at your feeds this week.
Yeah. So Dane and Anthony are going to have a conversation here. Dane tells Anthony that it has to be Kira and Sam on the block next week to flush the power from Kira and to get Sam out. And Dane says, if Adam wins that veto and uses it on Sam, he's done. We're done with him. He's gone. And Anthony's like, oh, yeah. Dane really, really close to the breaking point here with Adam and Sam. And I got to say, if Sam is on the block and looking like she's going home and Adam has the veto, he's using it.
Of course.
He's using it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, you know, kind of hoping that that happens, actually.
Just the same way that Dane would use it if it was Esty, and Anthony might use it if it was Corey. So,
yeah, well, I think they're less likely to. I think that if they felt like it was the right thing to do, they might not. Whereas I do think that, like, if all three guys were like, you can't use the veto, and Adam had the veto, he'd be like, sorry, I got to do it. Whereas I feel like if Anthony was telling Dane, like, no, it's got to be Esty, I feel like Dane might actually be like, fine.
I don't know. I give Dane enough credit that I don't think he would let his last, like, number, like, his solid number one outside of the guys, I don't think he would let Esty go. Maybe Anthony would let Corey stay on the block if need be, but I don't know. It's like we said before, it's getting down to it, and they're all running out of their plus ones, and someone's got to crack eventually and lose theirs first.
Yes. Well, I mean, part of why I think that is stemming from this conversation where Anthony really just, he has a way with persuading Dane to come around to his way of thinking where, I mentioned that Anthony was kind of protecting Kira and Dane was like really against Kira at the very least wanting the power flushed. And they both still agree on that. But Anthony does kind of get Dane to agree like, oh, yeah, you know what? Kira should probably be the last person we cut. Kira should be the person we take all the way to the final five or whatever, because they're not going to be winning any competitions. And Anthony's fine with that because he now feels like Kira is his. And Anthony also says that he believes Dane has Esty more than Adam has Sam, but Corey loves Dane and would never go against him and the pretty boys. So that's important to note. Dane thinks Sam is the only one that would put him up, and Anthony says, yeah, for me, I think it's Sam or Esty. And Dane says, yeah, you're right. Esty has been talking about you a lot lately, and I've been kind of having to go along with it because I don't want to give anything away. And Anthony's like, perfect. But yeah, we need to keep an eye on Esty. Dane not at the stage that Adam is in terms of like really actively trying to protect Esty from Anthony or anyone else at this point.
Well, this is where I give Dane credit, because I don't think I think in his head he's acknowledging the fact that he just kind of needs to nod and agree here. But I do think at the end of the day, he's not, going to let Anthony tell him how to run his game and let Anthony tell him when Esty needs to go. I think he's been playing it smart, letting Anthony do all the talking and reinforcing. Yeah, we're good. This is the final two all the way to the end. You know, screw everyone else. We got this. But Dane, just like Adam, I think I didn't give him enough credit a few weeks ago. And I've just been watching him, especially Dane's good as somebody who can transition from HOH to not HOH pretty well. He's done it twice now, and his transitions are never, no one's looking at him at the week after. You think that majority of the time, especially, look at someone like Chelsea, they were targeted right away. Dane goes smoothly right back into the alliance that he's working with and under the covers.
Yeah.
So good on Dane.
We're then going to get a Mark and Kira conversation. Mark is campaigning to them a bit here. He says, I was an important vote for you against Mackie. And, I made that decision. And I really, I made that decision because I trusted you. And Kira goes, no, you made that decision because Dane wanted you to. That's what you said. It's like, mm-hmm. No, yeah, right.
yeah,
a bit of a misstep there with Mark, but this does go pretty well, actually. Apart from that, Kira says, I know you've been saying my name, and Mark says, I mean, yeah, of course, but I want you to know, let's be honest. Everyone has, like, you're the name that's easy to throw out here. You've been on the block so many times, and I feel like I'm becoming one of those people too. I'm on the block right now as a pawn. I'm an easy name to throw out. A lot of people, it's easy to say, oh, Mark is sketchy, just throw Mark on the block. He really tries to bond with Kira over this sort of like, hey, we're both kind of outsiders. We're both outcast from the main groups, and now we're easy names to throw around. And I think he really does get to Kira on that level here a little bit in this conversation.
And, if Mark does stay in the house this week, which it's as of now looking like he probably will, hard to say for sure. There's still time left, but I think I have no reason to believe why Mark would turn away from him when he's talking about taking a shot at the Pretty Boys. I know you really think that he's waiting for like a double or a triple eviction to make the shot. I don't know. I think if he ever does come into power in an HOH week, I think I don't know. I have a hard time seeing him have these ideas in his head and then decide, well, no, it's not a double eviction, so I can't do it now. And especially now that he's on the block, he sees he's kind of at the bottom of things. I feel like he's going to probably take the shot as soon as he has a chance, if he has a chance.
It's very possible. Kira wants to know who Mark's target would be. He says, it's not you. I've been made aware that people are lying about me, saying I'm coming after Sam, which is not true. So I want to find out who those people are and target them. Those would be my targets. I think that was actually kind of a clever way to get around the who will you target is I don't know yet. I need to find out who's lying about me. Then they'll be my targets. And he obviously knows where all the information is. He knows Kira's not one of those people, so they're not going to feel scared about that. Kira wants to know why the vote flipped so many times when they were up against Mackie. He says, oh, it was Mama. It's Mama.
It's very easy to blame the person not in the house anymore.
He says that, you know, you staying consistent while Mackie was all over the place really helped you stay. And that's been a line that Kira has been saying for so long. Oh, I stay consistent. Like, man, every time I hone in on a conversation with Mark, he has so many like good indicators for manipulation, but then he's also just so bad socially that it like it counteracts it. But he really does a lot of detail work here with Kira, using terms that they use, trying to relate to them on their level with things that they talk about all the time. And so he says, like, and so what I want to do this week is stay consistent. That's how I feel I'm going to stay. And Kira's like, yes, that's exactly what I did. That's exactly how to do it. Chelsea, she had like 10 different campaigns, but I stayed consistent. And so Kira wants to know about this rumor about Esty and Kiki telling the cameras they're going after Sam and Adam. Mark says, you know, I heard that rumor, but I never saw it myself, so I can't confirm or deny, but I have heard that rumor. And Kira also questions about the Chelsea stuff. This is very important to Kira that, you know, what people say you run to power and, you know, you were really condescending to Chelsea. So Mark details his whole game. He says, like, well, this is what happened. I talked to Chelsea. We talked about working together. And then I found out that she was making alliances without me. And again, this is exactly what Kira felt betrayed by with Chelsea. And he was like, I felt really betrayed by that. And so, you know, I really, that hurt me. And so and Chelsea's a great woman. Like I want to be friends with her. Like after the show, we'll talk. And you know, it'll be great and we'll be friends and stuff. But it really hurt me in that moment. And Kira was like, yeah, she really was making a lot of those alliances. I was left out of them too. This goes pretty well for Mark. Ultimately, Kira says, you know, I'm going to do what Sam wants. Either person staying is fine for me, but you know, if things are looking good for you, then, you know, we'll see. But right now I'm undecided, but I'm doing what Sam wants me to do.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how you still feel about Kira in terms of being somebody who might make it very deep into the game. I think you said like a week ago that Kira could end up in final two at this point because they're going to keep going on the block, staying safe and whatever. I feel like Kira's game is almost starting from scratch at this point because it's like pre-Chelsea and post-Chelsea. We had the entire phase of the game when Chelsea was in the game and Kira was distracted and everything about Kira was in relation to like the reason Kira stayed in the house in the first place was because they were good with Chelsea. Adam and Sam saw that Kira was a number in Chelsea's side. Chelsea was a number in their side and whatnot. So Kira is just kind of like a free agent this week. I think that's why Anthony's doing so well with the conversations he's having with them. Mark's obviously making some progress here. If Mark stays in the house, I think that's a relationship that, I don't know if it's going to be like something super solid, but it might be enough to keep each other off of each other's radars. So I don't know. I've been impressed by maybe both of them a little bit this week. Not Kira. It's tricky because Kira isn't doing a whole lot to put themselves in a great position, but they're doing enough to keep themselves temporarily safe, if that makes sense. And then Mark, I just feel like, has been doing the best he can in the situation he's in. I don't know where you're at.
It's well, Kira's interesting because they're in a position where they're basically a final two goat. So they're bad at competitions and nobody likes them. So it's like they're in a great spot, like where nobody wants to come after them. But they're not like a Victoria Final Two Go. They're not like a just like sit around doing nothing Final Two Go. They're in this position because they play so hard time. And so they're constantly endangering their Final Two Goat status by being a threat to someone or other. But they're managing to like play really hard and not not like get out of this Final Two Goat status, which is kind of impressive in its own way, but it's almost like, what is the end goal? Because they're a little bit just running in place, like with all of the game they're playing. Maybe eventually something will catch and something will happen. I mean, their relationship with Anthony is definitely a good one for them. And Anthony is definitely keeping them safe at this point. And also this, you know, theoretically budding relationship with Mark, he's not great at keeping up with these things, so who knows if it actually goes anywhere. But Mark, we were theorizing a couple of weeks ago, was looking at Kira as a potential actual Final Two Go, whereas Anthony, mm-hmm. I think, still would actually potentially take Dane, depending on how that goes. So, although Anthony may now be thinking about taking Kira as well. So I do think that Kira definitely is positioning themselves in a way to be taken to the Final Two. They were kind of put in that position to begin with. They're kind of trying to be, they're trying to not be the Final Two Go, but the more they try, the more it kind of locks them in place. So it's a very like contradictory sort of thing. And it's hard to really establish like a baseline for, you know, Kira's game. But ultimately, I think positioning alone and in how the house sees them alone, they should be in this for a while.
Yeah, but I mean, also, it's easy to forget, even just while talking about Kira's game, the whole blood veto thing. Dane has been putting it out there that Kira has to go on the block next week to make sure that they flush out the power and whatnot. And we have no idea what it is. Kira still has no idea what it is, because for some reason, a twist has been introduced to the game with zero instructions for however long this is going to last. And I'm still pretty frustrated by that. But that's another story. So, yeah, who knows how that's going to affect Kira's game next week, even if they are in relatively good spots with some people in the house, because you got the power. We got to flush it out. So
let me just say, I think with the blood veto, I think the Tom Palmer, like they just decide which one leaves. That's a pretty good theory. But I even more strongly, I feel like I want to make a call. I feel like it's going to be used this week. I think that it's going to be like a surprise thing and that puts you on the spot and you have to make a decision. That's what I feel. It's what I sense. There are so many stipulations to how it works this week, where the HOH couldn't have it. The person is off the block. They couldn't play in veto. They can't be, nominated. So it seems like it's specifically set up for this week, and that they're probably hoping to set up for like a viewer kind of blindside too, where it's like, boom, whoa, look at this, it's this crazy thing. That's my theory, but who knows.
I think that also just makes sense because of the fact that Sam couldn't have any chance of getting it.
Yeah.
So if this was something that could be used next week when Sam is not in power, totally of course unfair the fact that Sam had no chance to get it just because Sam was in power this week. So that makes sense. It's just like, when are you going to tell us? This is we got a couple days left in this week. Well, I don't know. I guess if they're going for the shock value of it and whatnot, are we just going to have the eviction canceled, or I don't know.
Who knows? But I think they are going for the shock value. I think they want like that big moment where even the audience is surprised by what goes down. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
Yep.
So Kiki is going to talk with Sam again. This is another attempt at campaigning. Kiki says, here's some juicy information, Sam. I just thought of this one. A while ago, I asked Mark if he was close with Adam, and Mark said he was in week one, but then Sam got in the way and they split apart. Just like that. And Sam pretends that she cares. She's like, oh, wow, I need to tell Adam this. And then Kiki leaves and Sam is like, you'll never believe what Kiki just told me. She said, oh, Mark said he was close with you. And then I got in the way and they split like this. And Adam's like, I care. And she's like, yeah, you're going home, Kiki.
Another race to Kiki's breath. She just gets these small little hints of things that she should go say. She just immediately fires into the room with Sam or with Adam and tells them, and then it just goes absolutely nowhere. I think the farther she stays away from these two, the better for her the next few days.
Yes, Kiki is going to have a lengthy campaign to the cameras. During the day,
staring directly into our souls.
Yeah, where she goes on and she does this every time. I came into this house with a target on my back, having to play hard. I've been trying to play dumb, but it just doesn't work because I'm just too smart. And
people think I'm Erica. Everyone's calling me Erica. Yes. Okay, relax.
So please give me a power. Please help me, Canada. People have been comparing me to Erica in this house. Don't let me be another Erica. I can't go out pre-jury. That doesn't make sense. That would be like so depressed. That would be like the Great Depression if that happened. Do you remember how sad you were when Erica left? Don't let that happen again. Give me a power, please. This house is just really hard too. It's, having to talk to people you don't like. It's so annoying and hard. I just don't know what to say to them. It's so much easier to talk with Dane and Esty and Damien. I just like hanging out with them. Why do I have to talk to anyone else? I just don't. Just please give me a power, Canada. I'm crazy. Have I made that clear? I'm really crazy. So give me a power, guys.
Little did she know, later in the day, we will get to that. But this begging, I understand. This is Big Brother Canada. This is the name of the game. You talk to the cameras, you see if there's anything you can do. A vote could pop up at any time. And Kiki does have the support, as we know from a vote that's going to happen, as we know from just being online. There is Kiki support out there, but I don't know. She's got to be directing this energy towards the votes and not towards us, because this is like her third speech to us in the matter of 24 hours, and it's not really working.
Yeah. She does go to Adam. She tries to campaign again to him. And Adam asks her straight up, like, I heard you were talking to the cameras with Esty about targeting us. And she's like, I don't remember doing that. Yeah,
come on. I don't remember saying that. It's like the number one, I said that, but I don't have anything better to say right now. I don't remember saying that. Like, come on. Give me something to work with.
Oh, man. And she's like, look, I've been honest with you about the fact that I was coming for you. And Adam's like, sure, but Mark has never said he's coming for me. So when I compare the two.
And then Kiki's like, well, Mark just runs to, and like, this is Kiki's number one selling point against Mark. Mark just runs to power each week. This is what Adam wants to hear. Power is with the pretty boys. The pretty boys keep winning all the competitions. If Mark's going to run to power, Mark is running to Adam. Mm-hmm. You're just giving him a reason why he should keep Mark.
But, yeah. And it's like you can say that you're not coming after me now, but you're on the block and we're in power. Of course you're going to say that. And before then you were coming after me. So like, what am I supposed to do here?
Meanwhile, everything that Kiki says to Sam, I don't think they talked much at all yesterday, but every time Kiki talks to Sam, Kiki's like, well, yeah, I was talking about coming maybe after you guys, but it was always Adam that was the target. And I don't remember if Sam and Adam have ever gotten together on this information. I'm sure they probably have at least at one point, but if Sam has told Adam that Kiki is coming after you and not me, Adam has even less reason to believe any of this.
She hasn't said it outright. She's implied it like Kiki could be one of my people, just like you have your people. Right. But in general, it's just mostly like they know that Kiki is coming for the two of them anyway.
Why is Kiki gonna go to Sam and tell her all of this about how I was coming after you guys, but I was coming after Adam, think to herself that no, Sam definitely didn't tell Adam that, and then still pitch to Adam? I just don't understand. Like, this is my frustration. Like, if you want to take a look at my notes, every few minutes of the day, I'm just like, please leave Adam alone and just stop wasting your time.
Yeah. I mean, what Kiki needs to do if she wants Sam on her side and eventually also get Kira on her side is say not I'm gunning for Adam, instead say I can't believe Dane duped us. I want him gone, because that's what they want to hear. And with the blood veto, they could maybe make something work. I mean, she should throw anything against the wall at this point, but I think it's too late. Kira would be like, I'm sorry, that's just not consistent enough for me. Which is true. Like, it just comes off as desperate at this point. So, she really lost her chance here.
She's really good at campaigning to us. She's got that nailed down. But when you get her in front of another human being, it's just like awkward.
Yeah, I don't know if I caught enough of the sarcasm in her being good at campaigning to us there.
Yeah. I she's really good at doing it a lot. And at least she has some passion behind her voice. And, you know, she tries to make you believe that, that she's a fighter and that she's Erica. She's Erica 2.0.
Mm.
So, if
or
the casuals
Sarah,
are seeing
don't
this,
forget
on,
Sarah.
No, I didn't catch that, I guess. But if this ends up on an episode and we get some Kiki campaigning to the cameras on the episode, I'm sure Canada will very easily believe it. So,
I don't know. This is pretty embarrassing to watch, I gotta say. I don't know. I guess it could be funny if they played a certain kind of music behind it.
I feel bad. She keeps talking about it. She's like, if I go out pre-jury in this final week before jury, I'm going to be so depressed. Like when I get out of the house,
it's going to be the Great Depression.
Yeah, like no one wants to be that evictee, but she's just not getting the job done.
Yeah. Mark campaigns to Sam. She says she wants him to stay. Mark points out, yeah. These two, Esty and Kiki, they're dangerous together. Do you remember the Pax brothers? Do you know why they won? Because they were two brains working together and they had one vote. Kiki and Esty, they're two brains working together with two votes. Sorry, Matt, can you just pick up from there? I'm getting a call.
You're getting a call? Okay, yeah. I hope it's Matt Hoffman, because that's the only person that you've talked about lately, you know, being someone you're talking to. I don't know. Anyway, I thought this was a good argument from Mark, because what?
I just kept ringing. I don't know why.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought this was a good argument from Mark, because you never expect the Pax Bros to really come up in Big Brother Canada these days. They haven't even been, they might have done something last season or the season before. But no one talks about them these days. But it was a good point. They were two brains and they were working together. And that's why Phil Paquette was able to be a Big Brother Canada winner, because he had Nick by his side. So the fact that Kiki and Esty have each other to bounce things off of, Mark was making some good points here. So do we know who's calling you?
It's probably a spam call. It's stupid.
You can answer
Google.
It if you want to. We can take it live on the air.
It's because I'm like connected to Google on the browser, and so it's going to ring through my computer. Like, get out of here, Google.
Is this an April Fool's prank? Or
I wish it was. I wish it was. Mark, he says this to Sam. He also suggests, you know, hey, Adam could use the veto on me and put Esty up if we really want to make sure that one of them leaves. But Sam says, nah, I don't think that's right. I don't want to get more blood on my hands. I don't want Dane to come after me if I do that. He's like, Dane wouldn't come after you. She's like, I think he would if I put Esty up at the very least. So, you know, he made the attempt, but he's still not the target here.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. Damien and Corey are going to talk a bit. They continue to bond. They have, I think, the most under the radar relationship of any relationship in the house. Nobody knows how close Damien and Corey are. That could be dangerous for the rest of the house or for them if it's ever discovered, because if the Pretty Boys found out how close Damien and Corey were, I don't think that they would be very pleased by that discovery. But they talk about plans for the week and plans for the future. Damien lets Corey know, like, when I'm looking at two nominees, I'm looking at who is more willing to take a big shot, because big shots need to be taken in this game. And I don't want somebody that's just going to like sit back and do nothing. And I know people are on Damien about like not doing enough, but if he won an HOH, he would take a shot. Like Damien is not somebody that would just be, you know, convinced to go after Corey or whatever.
He would take a shot at Sam and Adam, just like the guys want him to do. So I don't know if I would consider that much of a shot, because that's just the obvious move.
Well, right? I mean, I think that, you know, it. I don't know. I don't know. I think that his initial idea would be Sam and Adam, because he thinks that that's who's in power. But if he discovered that other people were in power, he would go for that. Like if Damien was in Sam's position, I think Damien would have nominated Dane and Anthony or Adam and Anthony, or something along those lines, to go after who he really thought was in power. The problem is that right now he thinks it's Sam and Adam that are in power. That just needs to be fixed.
Yeah. And I wanted to, I guess, bring this up a little bit when we were talking about Damien earlier. Damien, I feel like is kind of sinking into a little bit of the Eddie spot now. Just the fact that in a house like this, where, you know, numbers are getting smaller and this alliance is is still holding strong with the four guys plus all their plus ones, like we've been talking about. Damian is not as connected. Obviously, he's got the SD and the Kiki kind of have his back. He's got Corey, who, you know, of course he's tight with and whatnot. But it just feels like the people who keep winning the competitions are going to need pawns in the next few weeks, and Damian is going to, especially someone like Adam, who's already put Damian up. Chelsea put Damian up, so Sam probably will have no issue putting Damian up. She almost did this week if she needed a replacement nominee. So I just feel like Damian is bound to end up on the block in the next week or two. And, you know, if the alliance stays as strong as it is, and if Damian's on the block against, say, Corey or something like that, and Anthony is going to make sure that Corey stays in the house and Damian will be gone. So I really, you know, again, Damian's someone I need to see more from this week, or he's going to end up the same way Eddie did.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, I think it's basically like he has a great social game, but strategically he just doesn't know how to make any cracks. He just doesn't know the show well enough, and so he's just trying to win a competition so he can open the game up, and it just hasn't happened for him yet. Corey in this conversation thinks that Kiki is not trustworthy. You can't believe her when she says she's not coming for you. She's a liar. So she's inclined to keep Mark around. That seems to be what Adam wants, and she would prefer to not go against the numbers in this vote. So she is leaning toward keeping Mark at this point in time.
You ever noticed during a Damian conversation how quick his yes is, like, yeah, uh-huh, yeah. Just listen. Makes sense. It's just like a very repetitive. I just felt the need to comment on that because it's something that he does every single conversation.
I really like the Damian Corey conversation. I think they're really funny together. They both have like weird senses of humor, which I enjoy. So Kiki and Esty are going to briefly confer about the camera, talking to the cameras thing. They are going to think, okay, I think it was Anthony that has been telling everyone because he did catch us doing that once. So we think Anthony is the one behind this. They talk endlessly about what they're going to do with that information, but they never actually do anything, which is pretty par for the course. Adam is going to talk with Mark after his conversation with Sam, and Mark is going to lay it on pretty thick with Adam. You're the man. We're going to be legendary. You know, everything's going to be great. Before the double eviction, I thought, you know, that I was going to be good at the mental competitions. That's what I had. But then you beat me at the double eviction. I was just like, you know what? Adam's going to win this game. And I'm so happy for you, bro. I'm so happy. I want to be there with you. I want to be there for you. I want you to win. And Adam is like trying not to smile because he loves this kind of ego boost. And so that's Adam's really pushing that, Mark is really pushing that. Adam says that before the Chelsea eviction, Chelsea actually came to him and said she had planned on blowing up his game in her speech, the whole guys thing, but she hopes that he will win and go far. So she decided she did not want to do that to blow up Adam's game, and he was like, thank you. And Mark was like, you didn't say thank you, did you? And Adam was like, no.
Can you imagine Adam, say we get down to like the final two or final three, I should say, and say there's like Anthony and Adam still in the house. The amount of pumping up of Adam's ego that they do between Anthony does this, Sam knows that this is something that people should do to get on Adam's good side. Mark is doing this just to make Adam feel so good. We're going to get down to final three and Anthony's going to give Adam his entire speech to say to the jury, tell them you're an alpha. Tell them you're the top dog. Tell them you're the man and you destroyed this game and took it down. And then Adam's going to say that to the jury and then Adam's going to get no votes because the jury's going to hate him and then Anthony's going to win. That's just that's me seeing the future.
I think that's kind of what Mark wants. And I think that Mark is trying to prep Adam for a strike against the Pretty Boys. I think Mark wants to try to ride Adam over the Pretty Boys and get to the final two with Adam, or maybe with Kira if he can manage that or as well. And then maybe try to pump Adam up with so much ego boosting that that Mark is the one that benefits from Adam being like bloviating in the final two. So he mentions the triple eviction. He says, you know, What are you thinking for the triple? Because I don't know. I feel like that might be the right time to take a big shot. You know, strike while the iron's hot. What do you think about that, maybe, Adam? And Adam does not really catch on here. He's like, well, how many people are going to be in the triple? And he's like, it goes from 8 to 5. So, you know, he's like, well, I'm just trying to figure out, if a guy will have to be put on the block or if there's enough other people. And Mark is like, okay, so you're definitely not on the same wavelength here. No, don't worry. A guy won't have to be put on the block. We're going to make it to Final Four. It'll be legendary. Here we go, Adam.
Yeah, Adam's going like Damian, Corey, and Esty on the block during the triple eviction. That's Adam's game at this point.
Yeah. So the feeds go down for the episode, and then they come back, and Kiki finally has her bed in the have-not room. It's a fancy bed that's, it's got like a remote control.
Tempur-Pedic.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Skechers lasted for 24 hours in that first week. And then eventually they got it for the full week, but something's sticking with this whole 24 hour time limit on gifts that they get in the house this season, because apparently Kiki only has this bed for one night and then it's going to be taken away from her.
It's basically just like flash target on your back, take it away.
She's really happy. I think she, like I said before, she had just talked to Canada all morning or for a little bit about how she really could use some help, and they're giving her a good night's sleep. So she's feeling great. She's like, my family's going to be so happy. They're all so great. I'm so excited that they get to see me in this bed. It's wonderful. It's so soft. It's great. She's excited.
Yes. And you know what? This is not a game related twist. So I am willing to name the sponsors here. I believe it was a Leon's bed.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
This is your favorite twist in Big Brother Canada history, or your favorite goat?
I will only help them advertise if it's non-game interfering.
Is this going to be on like the end of the year 2019 podcast? Like, what was your favorite twist of the season? And the bed will be on there. And you're going to be advocating for 100% of the fans to vote for that.
There were probably better twists so far. I feel like the HOH not competing, I kind of like this one. But yeah, there you go. Bed is in there, and it does have an impact on how people are viewing it. They're saying no, it's Tempur-Pedic. I thought I heard that it was one of those. I don't know.
I think it's a Tempur-Pedic from Leon's. Almost sure.
Something like that.
I guess if we get that one wrong, that's the worst thing we could do today.
Oh, no. Kira has a talk to the cameras. They say that they confirm that they still don't know what the blood veto does. They're like, I hope this is something good. I need this to be something good. They apologize to Canada. I know you like Kiki, but she has to go. She has to go. I'm sorry, Canada. And they're like, but I'm doing a really good job. I'm doing a really good job of creating cracks in this boys thing. So I'm really proud of myself.
Something only like a super, super nerdy person would pay attention to. So I guess myself, the fact that Kiki in the earlier spiel she did to the camera was in a complete opposite corner of the room that, Kira had her late day camera talk. So Kiki talked to one corner camera, said, please save me, please save me. And then later in the day, without knowing, Kira talks to the complete opposite corner and says, Kiki's going and I'm sorry.
Yeah. Another funny thing actually with that is that when Kiki was doing her pitch to the cameras, on the other set of cameras, Mark was by himself outside near the hot tub, pacing back and forth, muttering to himself, a very, very opposite way of talking to the cameras or themselves, where Kiki was just like, I am here and I'm Erica. And Mark was pacing back and forth like, And then you like practice his rap. Very funny. The contrast there. Yeah. So that was Kira. Anthony is going to talk with Corey in the hot tub later that night. It's the usual kind of talk with Corey where he is making sure that he's setting her up the way that he wants her to be set up. Now, something that kind of went under the radar because I wasn't sure what was going on with it. But with all this Kira telling Corey about the backdoor plan, Anthony got in and told Corey, this is Adam. This is Adam more than Sam. This is Adam more than anyone. Adam wants you backdoor. Now, he's still trying to get Corey on board with Adam and to work with Adam, he's telling Adam that Corey is really, really good with him. So he is lying to Adam. He is setting Adam up here. And so Kira came in and started talking about this thing because Kira was the one that told Corey initially. And Corey asks Kira, like, who initiated this? And Kira says, look, I'm really going out on a limb to give you this information, but it was Dane. Dane convinced Adam, who tried to convince Sam. And after Kira leaves, Anthony is like, that's not the whole story. That's definitely not the whole story. I think it was Adam. I think that Dane probably was just, if anything, was just going along with it to keep himself safe because he was afraid of getting back the word. I think this, you still need to focus more on Adam. So Anthony is doing a lot of work to make sure that Corey is his weapon aimed at Adam. And he hasn't told anybody this, including Dane. He tells Dane that Corey is good with Dane and Adam. He tells Adam that Corey is loving Adam. And so, like, Anthony is really just like prepping this weaponized Corey to shoot off at, I think, Adam, because he sees how good Adam is at competitions. Later in the night, Dane is going to talk with Anthony and they're going to confirm and reconfirm their final two alliance. Mm-hmm. So I do think that Anthony is fairly loyal to this for the moment, and making sure that he has a backup plan against Adam here.
Yeah, and Corey has talked about she hasn't won any competition. Well, no, she hasn't won any HOHs yet. She's like, this might be a good time for me to start winning those and getting myself some power and doing something with it. So if she's, you know, we saw in the veto competitions, she's perfectly capable of winning something. She's strong. She works out if there's any kind of physical or endurance comps coming up, which I feel like they're probably will be sometime soon. We've had a lot of, like, you know, especially with the double, we had, you know, the before and after, a lot of things that, you know, go inside the house, run around and come back, you know, some mental stuff. So I feel like if there's anything physical coming up, Corey stands a pretty good shot.
Yeah. So, you know, Anthony is doing that. Meanwhile, Kira is talking to Sam about, like, I'm doing so good. I'm getting Corey and Anthony to go against Dane. They're listening to me. And of course, it's not even remotely the case. Mm-hmm. But Dane, as I talked about, did have a conversation with Anthony. Dane is in a bad mood because he's like, Canada's going to hate me for betraying Kiki because they love Kiki. And now they're going to hate me. And Anthony's like, look, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We're pretty boys. Canada wants to see people play the game. Kiki's not playing the game. You're playing the game. We're pretty boys. We're going to make this happen. Dana's like, yeah. Again, they reiterate their final two. Nobody knows about it. Nobody knows about it. Nobody can know about it. We're going to make it to the final two. We're going to do this.
Dane's also one of the most miserable people that I think I've ever seen on Slop. He's really not happy about it. And that's, like, affecting his mood. That's affecting, like, everything. So, I don't have any kind of rankings for this. Maybe I should, but he would be pretty close to the top of people who are not doing well on Slop.
Yeah, he loves his food, and he's been really... I watched him at one point, like, sniffing a container of food and just being like...
Yeah, it's not going so well. So no bed and no food. He's striking out this week.
And Sam is HOH, and he's losing one of his women. And, you know, Sam is getting in with the guys. Like, everything is just not working out the way Dane wants it to.
But he's staying calm, so I'll give him that. I mean, he still seems to have bathroom problems every 5 minutes, and I have to hear about that, which I'm not too pleased with. But I guess that's Dane.
That's Dane. All right, so that's about what we've got for you, unless there's anything else you wanted to bring up, Matt.
Nope. Should be a pretty flip-floppy couple of days coming up. I'll be interested to see what you guys are scoring people on the round table tonight, because I really feel like there's a lot up in the air.
Yes, we will be live tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern to do our roundtable this week. I will be getting the form for that up on Twitter. You can follow me at Armstrong Terran. I will be, you know, pinning the form to my Twitter. So if you're looking to fill that out to rate the players, you can make your voice heard. There'll be some other questions as well, probably about the blood veto and whether or not you think Sam is making the right move with her HOH week this week, and so on and so forth. So
can I suggest a question?
Maybe. Go ahead.
live on the podcast so that you have to put it on. Can you put on there like a whole like rank the players from whatever to whatever, like who you think will be the winner of the season now that we're like at the halfway point? Like I think it'd be interesting to check in at the end and see where people were thinking in the middle. And if because I don't know if everybody would have put like Paris high up in the middle of last season. So can you put that on there for me?
There you go. Special Matt question will be added to the form.
Thank you so much.
All right. So thank you guys for joining us. Again, make sure you tune in tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you fill out the form. It's really, really helpful for us. The more people that fill it out, the better the information is. So I really appreciate those of you that that go and do that. It doesn't take very long. So so please check that out. You can find Matt Ligori at Matt Ligori.
Yes, you can find Matt Ligori at Matt Ligori, block Brent at One Lucky Gay.
Yes, yeah, of course, I'll be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update on everything happening today on the Big Brother Canada 6 live feeds. And then Thursday night, we'll be back to recap the eviction episode of Big Brother Canada 7. Thank you once more for joining us. We'll see you next time.